I'm having a bit of a smile about reading an ad about wind-free Camps Bay and Oceanside living, because the two men in studio with me right now have been through anything but wind-free, calm seaside living for the last couple of months. It is a great pleasure to welcome in studio two young sailors who've just completed the second stage of one of the world's toughest endurance challenges. It's the Clipper Round the World Yacht Race, which is a 40,000 nautical mile race that lasts 11 months in total. It's also the only race of its kind on this planet in which nearly half the competitors have no previous sailing experience. Now, there are more than 700 crew members taking part this year. It's the 11th edition of the race, and those sailors come from more than 40 different countries. 14 of them are South African, and two of those are with us today. Their boat, Dare to Dream, pulled into port on Wednesday night at around about 10 p.m. in second place. It's a very warm welcome to Dale Smith of Fishhook, who's the skipper of that boat, and his crew member, Nkomo Mswazi. Welcome to you as well. Great
Thank
to have you with
much.
Us.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
Great to have you with us, and welcome to dry land. It seems extraordinary to me that a race, Dale, that tackles some of the toughest ocean conditions out there can be handled by anybody but seasoned professionals. I know you're the skipper, so clearly you have a long sailing background, but what's it like working with amateurs on board?
It's interesting and stressful, and we take them all through quite an intensive training program before the race begins. So, you know, in some ways, we have the advantage of teaching them good habits, good mm-hmm. safety culture right from the beginning of the event. But still, it is challenging, being the only professional on board. I've been very, very lucky the last two legs to have Norba with me. Norba's got substantial sailing experience. Mm-hmm. And, you sort of hope that out of your, plus minus 20 crew members, there are some of them that are doing the race because they are already keen sailors. So mm-hmm. you end up with a few guys that have some strengths, and then going right down to people that have never stepped on a boat in their lives before.
It's an amazing concept. And Ngoba, how long have you been sailing?
I've been sailing for 9 years now.
Okay, and how did you first get involved in the sport? I believe you're from Durban originally.
Yes, I'm originally from Durban. So I got involved on the sailing school that's down in Durban. It's called Sail Africa. Mm-hmm. So it was started by one of the guys that was a skipper for the 05-06 Durban Clipper Round the World Race boats. So we started a sailing school, and that's how I got involved.
Okay, so you are familiar with the concept of the Clipper, and I believe, in fact, this is not your first one. You've already successfully completed a Round the World Clipper in 2013-14, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I did a race for one of the legs from China to San Francisco.
Okay.
It was in 2014, yeah.
So one of the legs from China to San Francisco. You've done both legs so far this time. Is your intention to do the entire race, or are you going to do some of the legs only?
There's a chance that I might end up doing the whole thing, but because I also want to be the next skip of the 1920 race, so then I've still got a few things to do inland, so I've still got a big decision to make in the last couple of 10 days that I'm still here in Cape Town.
Okay, no pressure. We won't hold you to an answer today then. I mean, Dale, obviously, I was just answered the question of who does what, how many people do the entire thing, or do people just do a leg at a time?
Yeah.
On your boat, for example, how many people are there for the duration?
So, yeah, you're looking at a sort of group of probably around 60% of your crew that are round the worlders. Mm-hmm. And then we have what we call leggers. So they may be doing one or multiple legs, and not necessarily back-to-back either. You may have people doing leg one and leg eight, doing only one leg. That's how it works. So every port is a bit of a crew changeover, some fresh blood and losing some people, which is always sad.
Mm.
But yeah, that's the way it goes.
It must make it quite difficult for you to find your feet again, because you've lost members of a crew that must have become a well-oiled machine over the preceding weeks and months, to suddenly have to start with new people who maybe don't know your way of doing things, your particular lingo on board. How long does it take to sort of get everyone into the groove together?
Yeah, it's a good question. It is definitely relearning the team dynamics. You hope that your sort of team culture carries through with your round the worlders, but every leg is a new dynamic, and that doesn't have to be a negative thing. Often a positive new dynamic And just learning to adapt and hoping really that the new leggers adapt to the culture of the boat and the way that the boat sailed and the sort of level that you sail at.
Mm. Dale, I've asked more about how he got his start in sailing. What about you? You're from Fishhook originally. Were you sailing as soon as you were walking?
Yeah, well, not quite as soon as I was walking, but yeah, I grew up sailing, racing Hobie Cats, and then moved into a full-time career really of sailing at 18 years of age. So it's been a full-time job for me for sort of the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. It's had its ups and downs, but here I am again doing more. Every time you do a bit of a marathon, you say, no, never again, and then you just come back for more.
I'm laughing because just last night I went to go and watch the documentary Optimist, which is the story of Greg Bertish's journey sailing Optimist from Hunclip to Langebaan. And having interviewed him before and heard him speak, and he'd sort of said, it looks like a toy, you won't believe how small it is. Until you've seen footage of an Optimist out there on the open ocean, it doesn't really hit home what it is like to be this battle of the man against the elements. Now, obviously, your boat is going to be substantially bigger than his, but you face the same challenges out there of unpredictable weather, of tides that shift, of waves that come up you weren't expecting, and of all being in a small, confined space together for a long stretch of time. But what's the hardest thing about being together in closed environment like that for long stretches?
Well, it's sharing most of the time is like when you share stuff with other people, because we rotate sleeping, so we hot bunks. So if the off watch is up on deck, the other watch is down sleeping. So the few things that like other people just like leave it like around, they get into you sometimes, but you just have to like control, calm down, take it easy in a boat, because once you're there, you're there. There's no turning back. So you learn to adjust a lot more quicker, and then just take a day, take every day easy. So yeah, it's very not that big on those boats.
Okay. I mean, Dale, I was amazed reading the results. I mean, you guys came in 10 p.m. on Wednesday. You were only 17 minutes behind the lead boat Greenings, which seems to me a ridiculously short amount of time, given that you've sailed all the way from Uruguay to Cape Town. Is it normal to have what amounts to basically a sprint finish at the end of such a long race?
It's not really normal. We sort of fought it out neck and neck for 3,500 miles from Punta del Este, and you know, the last 3 days were absolute torture. It was sort of, we were in the lead, they were in the lead, and they managed to take it from us right at the end.
Aww.
And you know, that's the nature of ocean racing. There's a lot of skill involved. There's a lot of interpretation with the weather that we download. But at the end of the day, there's also a lot of luck and a lot of gambling, and a lot of, you know, just letting it be what it is. But the Clipper fleet is incredibly tight competition.
Mm.
You know, you look at one bad sail change, one bad decision, one gear breakage, and you can very quickly move from the front of the fleet right to the back, really in the blink of an eye, and so it keeps you on your toes for sure.
And you told me my job was stressful. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I believe you guys have literally come with your own water in hand as you've pulled into port in Cape Town. Obviously, you've got to find a way to cope with your own water needs out there in the ocean. But what have you done coming into Cape Town?
We have the ability, and we need the ability to make water on board. So we made sure we made lots and lots of water before we came into Cape Town. We obviously have some deep cleaning to do and so on and so forth. So we've come into Cape Town bringing our own water with us, which is straight from the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, if you could process a couple of extra liters while you're here, it would be very gratefully accepted.
Yeah.
Look, you are approximately, I think, a quarter of the way through the race at this point, 10,000 nautical miles down. Ngoba, that means another 30,000 to go. Where to from here? The next leg leaves on the 31st of October. What's the route you sail from here?
Well, the next leg is going down to Australia. So unfortunately for me, it's my last leg here, so I'm going to be back on land.
Okay.
So hopefully I'll join the guys somewhere around the world, and then, but all the guys are quite excited for the leg, and they, by now they're all up to speed. They know what to expect after this crossing, because we had a few days with like big winds, but yeah, the team is ready, and they should do well all the way down to Australia.
all the way down to Australia, which has that little thing called the Southern Ocean in the way, and the issue of the famous Roaring Forties. Dale, I mean, what do you expect from this leg?
Cold, tough, wet, and we sort of are lucky or unlucky, depends which way you look at it. The last leg we did now was exceptionally cold and wet. So I think and good big surfing speeds. So I think we got a nice foretaste of what we're in for on the next leg again. The next leg is really quite similar to the last one we've just done, deep into the Roaring Forties. And I think it's been a good training leg over the last 2 weeks for what's to come.
Okay, well, our very best wishes go with you. Glad you've got a couple of days R&R in Cape Town. Of course, home port for you. I assume that means there's family waiting, and very pleased to have you here. Yeah. I guess the final question is, if members of the public would like to get a look at the fleet and see the boats and maybe meet some of you guys, can they do that? Can they come down to the port and find you there?
Absolutely. Yep. So we're just in front of the Table Bay Hotel at Quay 6. And if you come down, we've got an ocean village going there, and open boats. You can get down onto the boats, and just come down and chat with the guys and come and see what it's all about.
Fantastic. Well, but I hope next time I'm chatting to you, it says the skipper of a boat in the 2019 edition. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
And again, I should just mention, if you want to follow the race online, there's a great website on which you can do that, which is www.clipperroundtheworld.com. Dale Smit and Ngoba Mswazi, thanks for being with us today, and smooth sailing from here on.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.